We'd like to welcome the radio audience to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. We'd like to thank Mark and Kathy Smallwood for sponsoring our radio ministry in honor of Joanna's birthday. Please join us on Ash Wednesday, Valentine's Day, February 14th. We will be offering a spaghetti dinner starting at 5:30 p.m. and our service will be at 7. All are welcomed here at 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. Our next community meal, come one and all and join us for food and fellowship on Saturday, February 17th, from 5 until 7. We are here at Trinity United Methodist Church, 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. Now we're going to enjoy some wonderful music by Proof, titled Love Lifted Me.
Mark and I selected, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, Mark and I selected this song, Love Lifted Me. If you'll give yourself permission, when we sing this song, think of yourself on a little boat, just floating around. And the water is maybe slightly choppy. You can see some white caps, but you're not going to capsize or anything. A boat, Mark, not a cruise boat, okay? We're not on a cruise. But anyway, this song, actually, the flow of it is supposed to remind us of being on the water. But the writer of the song, I think he wrote it in 1912, wants to conjure up the image of being calm, but remembering times when he almost drowned in the water, but our Savior in Christ saved us from the water, much like he did Peter on the lake that one night when Peter decided he wanted to walk on water, but he didn't. He had faith, but not enough to sustain him on the water. So that's what this song is about. It also is sort of a little bit of a tribute to Valentine's Day because it's got the word love mentioned quite a few times. In fact, that's what your challenge is as we sing. Count how many times the word love is sung in this song, if you will. Okay? And now the Troy Nicholson Orchestra, would you kick it off there?
From the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Thank you.
was beautiful.
Nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
And now we will go turn to our scripture. Awesome. And now our scripture reading will be from Mark 9, verses 2 through 9, and that's on page 1000 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to read along. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. And now we will have our sermon by Pastor Angel Armstrong titled "Letting Go and New Beginnings."
Today is Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration, according to the Oxford Dictionary, a complete change of form or appearance into a more beautiful or spiritual state. And its use of the word in this sentence stood out to me. In this light, our junk, I'm going to say baggage, undergoes a transfiguration, and it shines. As he began his journey, he climbed up the side of the mountain. It was a steep mountain, and his goal was to make it to the summit. He had everything with him from his life for the journey. He had a big backpack. He had a box in one hand, and he had an overstuffed briefcase. And he made his way up the side of the mountain. He began panting. He began to sweat. Drops of sweat were rolling off of him, down his back, in his eyes. He could barely see. Finally, he had to stop. He stopped beside a beautiful tree. And he rested against it, and he let the cooling breeze comfort him, and he dropped all of the baggage. He looked up towards the summit, and he said, "If I'm going to make it to my goal, I have to leave all this baggage here, or I will never make it up to my goal." He set all the baggage down. All of a sudden, he felt just a little taller. He stood straight. And he felt lighter. And he, with a confident stride, made it up to the top of the summit, where he was rewarded with the most gorgeous, majestic, panoramic view. He looked all around. Down below him was a lush green valley. It was calling to him. He somehow knew in his heart that that was his future. And through that valley was a majestic, beautiful stream. There were huge, tall pine trees that provided shade. The blue sky twinkled, and the orange sun shimmered and provided warmth. He wanted so much to go down into that valley. He just knew in his spirit that that was his future. And then he remembered all the baggage he left back at the tree. And he thought, well, I better go collect all that. So he trudged back down the side of the mountain. And when he got there, it was strewn all over the place. He took a look at that mess. And he said, all right, well, I remember carrying all that. It was so heavy. Let's see if I can't lighten the load. So he gets down and he digs through the box. The box are his prize possessions. It is all the awards that he earned in high school, all the awards that he got from his employer. He even had report cards in there with notes from his teacher. And he had sports trophies. Well, he got to looking at that and he thought, you know, I don't really need that anymore. I don't need those awards and trophies to build me up. I've seen something more beautiful. And he pushed the box aside. Then he got a hold of the backpack. Now the backpack was his crowning glory. It was all the beauty he had collected through his life's journey. There was a beautiful monarch butterfly pressed between wax paper that he had done in the third grade. There was memories of a mission trip in seventh grade and the beautiful surroundings that he had seen. There was a picture of the most glorious double rainbow in there. He started looking through all of it, and he looked up to the summit, and he remembered the beauty of that view. And he said, that's enough for me. And he set the backpack aside. Then he came to the most difficult one, the overstuffed briefcase that when he picked it up weighed him down. He began filing through that briefcase, and in it was all of his concerns, all of his issues in life. In it also was things that had motivated him, things that had impassioned his spirit and given him drive to become successful. But in it was also all of his issues. A feeling of not being enough. A being unworthy. All of the mistakes that he had made with his children. He took one look at that briefcase and he said, I will never make it down into the valley if I carry that thing with me. So he took all of this stuff and he buried it in a deep hole. And he ran up the side of the mountain. He got to the beautiful panoramic view. And he thanked God. And then he went down into his future, into the valley, knowing in the depth of his spirit that God had something for him to do in that valley. But first, he had to let go of all his junk, all his baggage, all his worries, all his prized possessions, even the good, so that he could move forward and serve God completely. Next, he made it down into that valley, carrying only one small backpack. And in that backpack were a few tools, a hammer, a saw, a couple of other tools that he might need to help build shelter for other people, and a bamboo flute. And now, having been released from all of his burdens, he could play joyful, beautiful music to the Lord as he walked through the valley. But you see, it took him some time to realize that the burden of life was too heavy for him to carry up the side of the mountain, that he would need to change. He would need to drop the past in order to step into a new future. Today's gospel reading presents us with a very familiar story of the Transfiguration. And we know it's important because all three of the synoptic gospel writers wrote about it. There's not too many things that span all of the Gospels. But the Transfiguration was so glorious of a story that it spans all the Gospel writers. And why wouldn't it? Can you just imagine our Lord Jesus glowing, white, luminous? I imagine it to be his spirit body looking up and seeing him in a bright, dazzling white, standing and talking to Elijah and Moses, Peter, James, and John, his inner circle, were so terrified that they dropped on their face to worship him. They would never be the same again. And I'll guarantee you, if you have had a close encounter with the living Lord Jesus, you will never be the same again. But as time goes on, just like those apostles, they lived with Jesus all day. They got used to the things he did. You know, when they were called, it required a letting go of the past and a moving on to an uncertain future. They were called, whether they were out on the boat fishing, in the fields plowing, and Jesus said, come, follow me. Come, be my disciples, my followers. Come, I will teach you to fish for men. They dropped what they were doing. They didn't say, let me put my plow and my oxen up. What am I going to do with all these fish? They dropped what they were doing and they followed him. That in and of itself was a life-changing experience. And beloved, we have to let go bit by bit of the things that hold us back so that we can follow God. Whether it's as a church, a family, a place of employment, or an individual. We have junk that we need to let go of and more fully follow God. The prophet Isaiah, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived, felt that he was unworthy. He said, God, I can't serve you. I can't do what you're calling me to do. I am a man of unclean lips, living among a generation of people with unclean lips. Nothing's changed much from Bible times to now. But he was willing to do anything because he wanted to serve his God. And God knew that if he felt unworthy, he would never be able to prophesy all God needed him to prophesy to Israel. When I think about what Isaiah endured, especially the very beginning and how he was cleansed, it makes my stomach cringe. He said, God, I'm not worthy. I'm a man of unclean lips. So a seraph, an angel, took a hot coal and pressed it against his lips, the most tender part of our body, and burned his lips to a crisp. Said, now you are sanctified, you are cleansed. And he went on to prophesy to all of Israel. Think about Hosea and what he was asked to do. Here is a man of God, clean, sanctified, set apart for the glory of God. And God told him, you're going to marry a harlot. You're going to marry a prostitute. Not only are you going to marry her and love her with your whole heart, you're going to bear children with her and raise them up. God did this to show the unfaithfulness of Israel. And you know, Gomer, his wife, she was given this amazing chance. But often, when we hold on to the past, we can't change. People who are caught up in addiction, people who are caught up in trauma, people who are caught up in life, period, frequently cannot change. They are so used to chaos. Women in domestic violence, people in addiction. They're so used to chaos that they call it into their life. I know Jimmy and Lori see it daily, but they don't even realize that they are calling this into their life. I can't imagine what Kathy sees. But they're so used to the bad. They're so used to the stress that it's easier for them to remain in it than to step out of their comfort zone into what God has for him. Time and time again, Gomer went out and continued to be a harlot and a prostitute even after she bore children. You know, I wish I could say that the birth of my children stopped some of my behavior. My alcoholism didn't even start until my oldest was 14. She was forced to watch her brothers and sisters. Things happened that she still hates me for 35 years later. And I will never be able to make that up to her. She would call me and tell me, "Mom, I'll never have a good relationship. I'll never have a successful career because you didn't model it for me." I would feel so guilty that it would weigh me down. I thought, I can't possibly go into ministry when God called me into ministry. At 40 years old, never having gone to junior high, never having gone to high school, God gave me an opportunity to go to college. I was terrified. But he had a calling for me. And time again, I would back away from that calling because I did not feel worthy. I'll never be able to make up to my children the damage that I caused. But I am able to live my life in such a way that I never cause that kind of hurt again. And I help other people not have to go through that. I spent some time with my oldest daughter the other day, and several of you prayed for me, and I'm so grateful. I got 1 hour with her all by myself, and we talked. Probably better than we had in years. But I had to let go of the junk of the past, of the things that I had done a long time ago, in order to enter into a new relationship with her. Perhaps the very best example we have of letting go of our hopes and our dreams and our past and our life is Mary during the Annunciation. Mary, a teenage Jewish girl with hopes and dreams and plans of her own, ordinary and mundane as they might have been, had plans. She had plans to marry. When the angel Gabriel came to her and told her something that she could not fathom, that she was going to give birth to the Savior of the world, she's like, I can't. I've not even been with the man. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will give birth and you will name him Jesus. She didn't say, how is that possible? She didn't say, no, my family's going to disown me. My betrothed will have nothing to do with me. My entire community won't even look at me. She said, let it be with me as you have said. That's one of the greatest examples that I have ever heard of us letting go of our own, our past, our hopes, our dreams, our burdens, and walking into what God has for us. For Jesus Christ in the garden did not shed tears for himself. He sweat huge drops of blood for the burden that he would carry for us. And how do we repay that? I hope it's by letting go of some of our past, by stepping forward and trusting him with our future. There was a group of botanists, plant lovers, that went to the Amazon, that went to the rainforest, because they were going to make a name for themselves. They were going to find the rarest, most unknown, uncatalogued plant there was and record it and learn everything about it. They got up there. They were all a mature group like we are. And when they got to the side of a cliff, they began looking with binoculars. And the leader of the group spotted a flower growing out of the side of the cliff. He said, "I've never seen that one before. There it is. There's our jewel. There is our rare plant." The guy next to him says, "Yeah, how are we going to get down there?" And he says, "Well, I guess one of us are going to have to be lowered over the side of the cliff with a rope." Whew. They all looked at each other like, "Not me. How are we going to decide on this? We're going to draw the short straw or what?" And then, just like Abraham in the thicket with the ram, a young man appeared upon the scene. But God. They looked at the young man. They said, "Hey, I'll give you $20 if you'll let us lower you over the side of the cliff and you will get that flower for us and bring it back up." Young man, about 17, he examined it. He looked at their desperate faces. And then he said, "Okay, but you got to wait just a minute." He ran off and he went and came back with an older man. This older man was his father. He said, "I'll do it on one condition. He holds the rope." Who holds your rope? Is it your success? Is it your failures? Is it your father? Or is it your heavenly father? Only you can decide who holds that rope. When we let go of our junk, our baggage, our past, our lives are transfigured. Our mess becomes a message. We become a living testimony to our Lord's radiant glory. Change our hearts, O God.